Before we open God's word, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Father, Lord God in heaven, thou who dost rule and reign over all things, who dost see everything, who knows our lives and our cares and concerns, thou dost know our needs, and thou canst provide in abundance. And Lord, we gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to assemble round about thy word for instruction, for correction in thy righteousness, and to understand thy plan, thy kingdom, and thy will for our lives. We pray that thou would equip us, O Lord, to be thy servants and to be thy ambassadors in this world. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou would also speak through thy word to those who do not know thee yet as their Lord and Savior, have not followed the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that thy word would inspire and continue to call as thy mercy is extended, to call them to repentance and to faith in thee. We give thee thanks for all thy many blessings. We know that all of our needs, O Lord, are known unto thee, and thou canst provide. And so in that faith, we commit ourselves unto thee in this evening, asking for thy blessing upon thy word, and that thou would bless our hearts, and that thou would help us as we go from this place to hear and also to apply. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the first epistle of John and read the second chapter, 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You've read the... The Apostle John writes to the churches, and he addresses them, my little children. With what tenderness and love he speaks to us who desire to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he calls us and writes to us that we would sin not, that we would walk in purity. And this desire, I believe, is for every child of God who is a parent for their children. And he also has that loving relationship, that loving concern to know that the terrors and the ugliness of sin will bring nothing but despair, hardship, and loss to any man. And so, like a father pleading to his children, John writes to believers in his day and writes to us today and speaks of Jesus Christ, the righteous, speaks of the one who has given his life, who has been that Lamb of God, who has died for the sins of the world, who is the mercy seat. Who among us cannot see the need that God has provided in his mercy and his grace, in giving us so much more than we deserve? We are here to honor the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here to point to him. We are here to remember his sacrifice. We are here to be impacted by what he has done, and that God, with his truth and with the light of the word, as we would look to him, look to our Savior upon the cross, and recognize that he had bled and died and suffered such miserable agony, such disdain from men, that we, with appreciation and thankfulness, would look to God and ask, why me? Not for me only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He has done this. And as we view him with adoration and admiration for his noble love, for his kindness, and for giving us much better than we deserve, let us look and peer and see, what is it that God is showing us with Jesus upon the cross? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Do we, in thankfulness and appreciation, feel the drawing tug of our Lord as he bids us come, follow me, and take up the cross? Deny yourself. Give up everything that you have, otherwise you cannot be my disciple. To glory in the cross. To suffer with him, that we could also reign with him. To have our old man crucified. To be partakers of his resurrection power, and to set our affections on things above. The Lord is calling us, if we love him and thank him, he is calling us to follow him. Because in his cross, Jesus shows us how to overcome the world. Jesus is a conquering king, and he says, I have overcome the world. And he says to his disciples, you are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And so the disciple of Jesus Christ is the one who embraces the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of suffering, the spirit of turning our backs upon this world and going outside this camp of this world, bearing the reproach, bearing the sufferings. Entirely and with a whole heart in commitment, leaving nothing out. Following Jesus Christ, he bids us come to him and do as he has done. He that saith he abideth in him, he that saith he has any association with Christ, any relationship with him, any affinity, any closeness in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And we understand and know that Jesus taught and preached and lived what the Word of God and followed his Father's commands and instructions. And he also walked those streets of Jerusalem, bearing the shame of a cross. He walked in Pilate's hall when offered, here, you can have your life. You can have your happiness. You can have what you want. I can set you free. And he silently surrendered it all. He did not grasp at his own happiness. He did not grasp at the things of this world. He did not grasp for the names and the notoriety, for the things that are highly esteemed among men. He was quiet. And we on this earth, as we are in this pilgrimage, the world and its seduction, the world and its values, the things that glitter, that are highly esteemed and so deemed noble among this world. He turned his back on it all. You will not overcome this world by trying to fight with your will or your intellect or your skill, or maybe you said something and now you need to correct it and you'll spin it a different way and you'll skate right by. Those words will catch up to you. You need to make it right. You will not get away. You will not overcome. Jesus on the cross, he is showing us the way to overcome the world. The one way. One truth, one life. It's nothing new. You know, in the Old Testament, they received the law and they were convicted of their sin year after year, and they went back and brought the sacrifices. But Jesus shows us a far more excellent way. And we're to follow him. And when we do in faith, by his grace and by his strength, he provides everything that we need to overcome the world and the fight and the struggle that leaves men with emptiness, guilt, filth, and shame. What would you give to overcome? What would you give to finally be free? Does the idea of what Jesus gave give you a hint as to what you must surrender? He said, follow me for a reason. Because if we seek to save our life and preserve something of this world and our flesh and our eyes and our pride, we will end up losing it all. But if we, with silent surrender, yield ourselves, give ourselves over, and allow Christ's death to teach us how to live, and then walk in it, there we will find our victory. Didn't Jesus? Didn't he overcome death? Why do we doubt it? Why do we say, oh no, it'll be a little bit different for me. I know better. I can dabble in sin. It's okay. I've got an advocate. There doesn't seem to be much room for that sort of theology and lack of a relationship with Jesus Christ in this scripture. We're called to give everything. You can't have it both ways, John says. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. There's nothing that we can do against the truth. Are we with him? Or do we scatter? There's no middle ground. The choice is ours. We can say that we have a name and that we live. We can say the name of the church that we go to and have some pride about the status that we hold. We can say that we are in the light. But if it's not the truth, it won't buy us anything. God desires truth in the inward parts, not a half-hearted love, but a complete surrender. And it says here that he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. There's clarity. There's a lack of ignorance. Oh, I'll just ignore the consequences of the world and what happens to it. That won't happen to me. No. Only if we walk in the light. Only if we open our eyes. And we need to open our eyes. This world and everything that it values is described here. The world and the things that are of the world are listed. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. No matter what name we have, no matter what title or position or esteem we have in the world, if it's exhibiting these three things, it's the world. And that was very clear for the readers of John's days when the world was pagan, when they were serving false gods. It was absolutely clear. But no matter where pride, arrogance, covetousness, lust, hatred is exhibited, whether it's in the most noble places on this earth, the most highly esteemed, most respected person that you know, it's still the world. And the Lord teaches us, do not love that. Do not give your allegiance to that. Do not surrender an inch. Don't you know? We see in the world, in the word, that the world is a wicked master. The devil is called the prince of this world. And he uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to drive a wedge between us and God. Between us and the fullness of joy that is at the right hand of God. Man struggles with this. He doesn't want to give it up. Because don't you look out of place when you don't have the new flashy thing? Doesn't the world look down on you? Don't you become the world's enemy? When you don't love the things that the world loves, when you don't value and prize the things that it says are great. But the most noble character, the most noble virtue that we can have is not desiring these things. We see others, and we are at times guilty of it ourselves, of accumulating. Just an illustration of a man with a collection. You know, the man, the rich man that has a huge barn, he doesn't know how to ride horses, but he's got a bunch of stallions, and they're all multi-$1,000 horses, but he doesn't know how to ride them. He doesn't know how to take care of them. He doesn't know how to value them. He doesn't know how much they cost. But because the world says, hey, this is a cool thing, he goes and gets them. We don't even know how to value the things that we possess, but we go after them anyway. Isn't that blind obedience? Yes, it is. And the world thrives on blind obedience and ignorance and closing our eyes, saying, I'm not going to look at the bad. I'm just going to hope for the best and enjoy it while I can. This is the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world that we are to reject and push away, to turn away and deny, and to be dead to, just the way that the one whom we follow has shown us. Does it call to us? Like Pilate, who said, don't you know? I could set you free. Doesn't matter. The world can call, but Jesus wouldn't answer. Jesus had nothing to say. Are we also following that? Are we actually called to that? Paul writes to the Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And we're instructed to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Jesus shows us what spirit we are to have. And it's summarized in Christ on the cross. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. He bids us come. The scripture says that that which is born of God overcomes the world. Is my faith of God, or is it man-made religion? Is it custom and tradition? Is it what I heard from my friends or I looked up on Google? Read the word. Calls us. Calls us to follow Christ and him crucified. Every doctrine and practice that we share as we understand the word is an application of this truth. It's an application of self-denial, of wholehearted love for the Lord, of wholehearted thanksgiving for Jesus Christ and his precious sacrifice for us. Christ gave himself, and we glory in this. And we read what Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatians, when he says that Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Later on in John, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we retain the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life within our hearts and in our souls, we're walking in darkness. But Jesus calls us to overcome. And he has no plan B. There's no other way but to look upon him and his cross. To realize what he has done and that he says, follow me. May God bless his word.